Hello, I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy. You know, we all have family picture frames. Frames that reflect the people who bring us the most joy, but also the people who can bring us the most frustration.
Yet, no matter what, the people in those frames have your back, and you have theirs. Regardless of who's in your frame, you're in it together. They are your legacy.
Welcome to the In This Together podcast, where we go behind the scenes to share stories from our own crooked picture frame.
And interview guests to discover how their stories can give us insight on becoming families who live, love, and lead well.
Because you're not alone. We're all in this together.
This episode of the In This Together podcast is brought to you by Forcefield, the best parental control product on the market for managing screens in your home. Visit josh.forcefield.me for a free 30-day trial. Become a digital mentor to your kids. That's josh.forcefield.me.
Hello and welcome back to the In This Together podcast. Today, we're going to do something special. Christy and I were invited by Family Talk and Dr. James Dobson to be a part of Marriage Week. It was a week in August where we had the opportunity to be able to be a part of reading from a devotional that he and his wife Shirley wrote called Nightlight for Couples. And the topic they asked us to speak on was overcommitment in marriage.
Yeah, so we had a very honest conversation.
We had a very honest conversation about overcommitment.
Yeah, well, and just how it affects your relationships, but mostly marriage, and how it's affected our marriage and just kind of our journey, I guess, struggle through finding some semblance of time for one another that we needed, and our journey of really learning to say no to the good things so that we could say yes to the best thing, which is us.
That's right. And so really it's a conversation about creating margin for our marriage. But we also talk a little bit about as it relates to our kids. So today's In This Together podcast episode is a special invite for you to listen in on our conversation of overcommitment. It's an honor to be here. I'm Josh, and with me is my wife, Christy Straub, and we are today having the privilege of reading Nightlight for Couples by Dr. James Dobson and co-authored by his wife, Shirley, here in Marriage Week. I'm just going to pitch it over to Christy because we're going to be reading a devotion today on overcommitment. I think something that every single one of us as families with children today, with or without children, really.
Yeah, so we're talking about overcommitment. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5:15. Overcommitment is a marriage killer. When your week is filled with the demands of 50, 60, or even 70 hours at the office, the pressures of a new baby, making meals, night classes, housework, church programs, replacing the broken window, the kids' band and football practices, Bible studies, painting the house, caring for your aunt with the broken leg. Well, you get the idea. How can a husband and wife seek to communicate with each other when they're too worn out to even talk? How can they enjoy praying together when every moment is programmed? How can they enjoy a sexual relationship when they just want to collapse into bed each evening? A few years ago, some friends of ours decided to do something about this dilemma. They sold their house and moved to a less expensive home so they could reduce their hours at work and spend more time with each other and their children. That kind of downward mobility is almost unheard of today. Have they regretted it? Not for a moment.
I don't think we've struggled with overcommitment too much, have we?
Oh, goodness, no, never. I have no idea what this might feel like.
What a great devotional.
I think this hit us both between the eyes.
Absolutely. And as you're reading through that devotional and you're reading through the church programs and the housework and the practices and the Bible studies,
oh my word.
And especially the new baby, I think for each of us, and I didn't even touch the work
in our own marriage? And I want to ask this question, because what we're going to do is we're going to answer the questions that come from this particular devotional, from the Nightlight for Couples. And the first question is, are you, and I'm asking you this, Christy, as your husband, are you satisfied with the amount of time we have for rest, renewal, and relationship building? Hmm.
You know, I think it's something that we've battled for the last number of years, pretty intentionally, but it's a battle. And I think we've tried to fight for it because we felt ourselves so frayed on the edges and that there wasn't any margin for us.
To answer that question, or to even bounce off of what you're saying, you know, in our own relationship, after we were married, we tried to be very intentional about setting patterns in our relationship. This was mm-hmm. pre-kids.
Yeah.
So after, like, for instance, when I would get off of work, the biggest thing for me was I needed time to unwind before I could talk about my day.
Yeah.
But we both value working out. We both value trying to stay healthy as best that we can. And so we started going to the gym. After I would get off work, we would go to the gym together. And that would give us, you know, 30, 45 minutes to kind of unwind, de-stress, and then after that we'd have dinner and talk about our day, and things were good because we had good patterns. And then kids came along, and
dun, dun, dun.
That's where at least for us, we had some, well, your pregnancies were very difficult. Mm-hmm. In the middle of that, we had two very difficult babies with mm-hmm. colic and acid reflux and stomach allergies and just things we couldn't figure out. You had some other different complications, chronic back pain and things like that. And in the middle of that, I was working and trying to, and what I've learned about my own personality is the way that I deal with stress when I'm overwhelmed is I keep working.
Yeah.
And I think for us, as you mentioned, this has been a battle for us. And I think it's been something that we've kept to the forefront of our minds because we've lived in it.
Yeah. And I think, well, it's exactly what you're saying. For all those reasons, I think we were aware of it, which I think was the first step, is just being aware that we didn't have margin and that we weren't doing well. And it was because life was far too full. And I think in the last couple years, we've learned, just like the overworking thing, I think as women, I feel like the details of life can take over to the extent that you want to do everything, because there's this Pinterest perfect, Instagram worthy life that I think people are aspiring to or feel like they need to be aspiring to. And you know what that requires? A whole lot of work and a lot of time. And I think we've somehow given up, let the dream die, that our life isn't going to look like that. And I think it started to give us a little more margin. And I mean that in the sense of, like, we've given up saying yes to a lot of things for the sake of our family.
Yeah. And I'm going to go back to what Dr. Dobson says here at the end of this last paragraph, of some friends of theirs who sold a house
mm-hmm.
to downsize so that they didn't have to work as hard. They didn't have to keep making as much money, so they had more time. Time and money are our two greatest commodities. And I think we've realized, especially with technology and social media, push notifications do not care about your kids.
Yeah. Or your marriage.
Or your marriage. That's exactly right. All they care about is that you answer them immediately. And mm-hmm. now we live in a culture where we feel like we have to answer every email within, you know, the hour, every text message. And we had that stress coming on us as well.
Yeah.
And I think for us, we had to choose. And again, this is an ongoing battle. Like, we have not figured this out, but I feel like we're figuring it out.
And I think what you just said is so true. Like, it's an ongoing battle, but the fact is we're still in the battle and we're still going after that prize. And I think we've recognized how much life it's given to us individually, but our marriage, when we've said the hard no's.
Well, and to go back to your point, though, this really began when we started to put our top values on a piece of paper.
Hmm.
And we said, this is the Straub family, and here are the top five values we want to live our lives by.
Yeah.
And, you know, loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and soul was number one. We put family, you know, number two, as it mm-hmm. relates to loving our family well, loving our kids well, loving each other well. And then from there, it became about adventure and excellence, doing everything we do with excellence and integrity, living with integrity. And we filter now every major decision we make through those lenses. And are we loving God well? And are we prioritizing our family? And I think there were a lot of situations where I was personally, as a husband, was saying yes to things because I was thinking, okay, what's this person going to think of me if I say no?
Yeah.
And I was putting what I thought other people might be thinking about me, I put kind of them first and was saying yes. And I think that's where we had a problem with overcommitment. And it wasn't until we put our values on paper and we started to say, okay, we're going to dictate how we live our lives.
Yes.
We're going to dictate what our kids are consuming, what our social media technology, we're going to consume what we're exposing them to, we're going to take control, and we're not going to allow culture to influence us, because culture is going to push and push and push and push.
Until you break. And that's your relation. I mean, really, that's what I think the marriage comes in the piece. That's the part that breaks, or the relationship with your kids.
And that's where it gets difficult. If you're just joining us, we're talking about overcommitment on the program today. And Christy just read an excerpt, a devotional from The Nightlight for Couples from Dr. James Dobson and his wife, Shirley. And it's a devotional on overcommitment. And we're really talking about Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, and really engaging time that we have with each other. If you would like a copy of Nightlight for Couples, make sure you go to drjamesdobson.org, and you can definitely find it there. We're excited to be a part. I'm Josh Straub, and this is my wife, Christy. We're excited to be a part of Marriage Week here, and we're talking about overcommitment today. So if you're just joining us.
You know, what you just said, though, I'm realizing, I was just having this conversation with two girlfriends last night about spiritual disciplines and about simplicity, and that simplicity is actually a spiritual discipline. And for, I think, this very fact that as a culture, we've become believers in the lie that bigger is better, that more is better. But actually, like, to get to the heart of us, to like get down to our souls and to connect with the Lord and to connect with one another, it requires simplicity. It requires taking away a lot of the distractions and the superfluous, you know, fluff that we stuff our life full with, and getting back to what matters. And I think exactly what you had just said, Josh, it came back to our five defining values that we came up with as a family. And I think that is maybe where it was the tipping point for us.
And I would, just another practical piece, one of the things that Christy does every now and again, because I just want to really praise her, because I think she does such a great job of this, is, and I'm looking at you, so I'm going to tell you this, but every now and again, Christy will even delete, especially if you're a mom listening in today, and the comparison of Instagram or Facebook or, you know, Pinterest or whatever other families are posting about their lives. We tend to make our lives look more glamorous on social media than they really are. And
it's your highlight reel.
and I know, Christy, you have mentioned this, and I'm free to share this, is you find yourself getting stuck in those comparisons and feeling like you
for
need
sure.
to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
And so for the sake of simplicity, there are times when you just have to delete it and pull away and choose what you are saying yes to.
Yeah.
'Cause I think one of the things that we, and by the way, we would love to invite you to listen to our podcast. We have a podcast called In This Together, and you can find that at joshuastraub.com/our podcast. It's the In This Together podcast, and we actually interviewed Lisa Harper a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And one of the things that she left us with was practice saying yes more to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we realized is we say yes to everybody else, but we often say no to our kids so much. Just the other day, our son Landon wanted to pour his own milk. I was making a smoothie, and he wanted to pour the almond milk into the thing. And my instinct was I wanted to say no. He's four, and I wanted to say no because I figured I'd have a mess to clean up. And I caught myself, and I went, "Yes, buddy." And I'm catching myself more saying yes to spending time with them, because I think our default is to say no to our kids and say yes to what the world is trying to tell us we need to be doing.
Exactly. Well, and we're saying no to our kids out of convenience, right? Because we're trying to rush them out the door to get to the next thing. Like, I think it feels like we don't have time.
Did you know that 94% of people who come to know Jesus do so before the age of 18?
That's a great statistic. But what does it mean for me as a parent?
How do I teach my kids what loving God means or even looks like?
Welcome to 22-6 Parenting, a community of parents walking alongside each other to raise kids who love God and love others.
Created through the lens of child development research and grounded in Scripture, 22-6 puts the tools and ideas in your hands to be intentional without adding anything extra to your day.
22-6 has three main features. First is community. It is a shame-free community of parents encouraging one another in our most important role, that of mom and dad. Each month, we go live for a Facebook Q&A with the community.
Secondly is content. 22-6 provides the tools you need to talk about God to your kids. Built on the four key times of the day Moses encouraged to use in Deuteronomy chapter 6, each month's content includes morning prayers, dinner time stories, drive time games, and bedtime questions.
And then there's the coaching. Each month you'll receive a coaching video on that month's mile marker or the topic with practical applications for how to foster character development and spiritual formation in your kids.
Learn more today at 226parenting.com. That is 226parenting.com.
I think we feel like there's not enough time in the day to do the frivolous, the fun, the...
Yet those are the things that matter most.
Yeah.
I want to go to this next question, Christy.
Okay.
Because let's get real here about the past week or the past month. Did we overcommit ourselves in the past week or month?
Yes. I would say yes, but although we are just coming out of summer, and that was a slower season for us. And I think we did a good job this summer of saying a lot more no's. But we're ramping into fall now, and you literally just told me last night that our son has a T-ball practice tomorrow, and I had no idea that I knew you signed him up for T-ball. I had no idea it required practices. He's four.
Can I seek your forgiveness on air?
Yeah. Because I'll probably be more likely to give it.
I'm going to just jump to the next question because I think it's so how do we overcommit ourselves in the past week or past month? And then how did that happen and how do we prevent it from happening? Hmm. And I think for us, one of the things I want to say is, speaking of T-ball, I can remember when our son was playing T-ball last fall. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, I was a wrestler as well. And this Tiny Tots wrestling flyer came home from preschool with him, and I so wanted him to get into this.
You were so excited about that.
Into wrestling. And he loves wrestling with me. We went into this camp. There was this two-week camp, and anyway, we took him to the practices, but they were running simultaneously with this T-ball that he was involved in.
Okay, but was it not three times a week?
It would have been. Had we signed him up, it would have been three times a week of practices. And he had just turned four at the
time. That's insane.
And plus the T-ball.
Can we all agree that that is insane?
But the reason I'm saying that, and we ended up saying no because of our family values, but the reason, and we did the camp for a couple of days and we went just to see if he'd like it, but we ultimately said no to it because we realized the culture is pushing our kids into sports younger and younger. Mm-hmm. There's travel sports, and we both are athletics. We love athletics. We love sports. We love the values that it teaches. However, at the same time, we are also seeing increasing anxiety in our kids today. I think screens are a major part of that. But I also think the pressure we're putting on our kids at such earlier and earlier ages and the way we're running them from activity to activity to activity. And that's one of the things we're really passionate about is getting into the hearts of our kids and championing their passions, mm-hmm. and then pursuing that. And I think that's another way that we have not overcommitted ourselves is we have really tried to pursue what our kids are passionate about.
Well, exactly. And all I hear is, even when you're describing that, it's fear-based. It's like, it's the belief that I have to do this in order for my kids to get ahead, right? Because like they're already behind. Because there's other kids that are doing travel ball and
social media fuels that.
Exactly.
Because we're seeing other parents.
As if they're so accomplished. And so our kids are behind because other kids are getting ahead. And I think it's really true, though. I mean, we keep saying this, but it comes back to our family values where we realized, I mean, we valued adventure. And so for our family, that meant actually saying no to good things in order to value our time more so that we could go on adventures. And it means we don't spend a lot of money on a lot of material things because we would rather experiences and take for ourselves and for our kids, but to go on adventure.
To clarify that, just past weekend, when we decided to go on a boat, rent a boat at a lake. and we put a budget aside and we saved money to be able to have different adventures throughout the summer where we could do those types of things. And so we neglect certain material possessions because we value adventure. And so therefore we'll say no to a number of different things so that we can value adventure with our family.
Exactly. Okay. I'm going down to the next question because it applies. What activities most often consume the time we could better spend with each other and with God? Can we give up some of them?
Can I jump in there for a second and answer that? Because I want to go to church activities. So even for us, within the context of our own local church, we believe wholeheartedly in the local church. We believe in serving in the local church. We are just coming out of the trenches of having two babies within 2 years' time, less than 2 years' time, and which took a real toll on Christy and took a toll on our marriage. And really, those were the survival years.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, one of the ways that we really chose to survive those years was to begin saying no to certain things. And I want to say there are certain seasons of life that I believe you can't give from an empty tank. Mm. And so if we're constantly saying yes, I think even to church activities and that type of thing, out of the feeling of obligation or duty, it's not really serving in the freedom that I believe we're called to. I am now an elder at our church. Christy is leading a Bible study here coming up. She just had a meeting last night on that. But 2 years ago, we were in nowhere near a season to be serving in the church in those capacities. And so I think as you think about, too, overcommitment, realizing what it is we as a family are able to say yes to in the season of life that we're in.
Yeah. And I was just talking about this the other day, about our season even before now, when our kids were little and we were going through that. And I realized I wasn't involved at the church at all. I just showed up. And
you struggled with guilt with that too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you were on staff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm like a pastor's wife. Like, I feel like I should have a role. I should have responsibility. And they were so gracious to put no expectation on me in that season because they knew I was barely making it. I was, I had nothing left to give. And what I think is just so neat is to see the Lord's redemption in the sense that you will come out of that season. And it might be a longer season. It might be a short season for you. But I mean, to the moms listening, to the wives listening who are just frayed on all edges and feeling like you've just got nothing left, my encouragement to you is that you are not unseen, you are not unimportant, that you are giving everything you have in the hidden places that you're giving it, and that it will end. It did for me anyway, and I'm thankful to be on the other side of it, and I'm thankful to be... I have the energy now and the desire to pour out more because I've got something in me to pour out. But that applied to our marriage too. I really had nothing left to give. And it required me in those years just saying a lot of no's. And I had some really gracious people around me that understood it and gave me a whole lot of love and a lot of grace.
That's the vulnerability of my wife.
Sorry, I don't mean to cry, but I can't help it. So
I would jump in as a husband and just say to the husbands listening in, you know, I think one of the biggest things that I saw bring Christy alive through those years where we were really overcommitting, or where I was even saying yes to things that, because if you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else. And a lot of times when we say yes outside of the home, we're saying no to our family. And to see Christy come alive when I would say no to someone to pursue her or to say yes to our family was one of the most enlightening things for me. And I mean, it made me feel like $1 million, maybe feel on top of the world, because, you know, I think it's true that as spouses, there's nobody who can make us feel on top of the world more than the one that we are married to, the one that we love. And so when we choose to say yes to our family, it does something inside of you. And so I would just really say and encourage husbands, even if it's a simple prayer at night over your wife, even if it's choosing to date her and taking the initiative to find the babysitter, taking the initiative to plan the date. Christy and I shoot for a date night a week. We usually hit about 3 times a month on average because babysitters fall through and that type of thing. But I would just really encourage you to pursue the date night, really pursue just even saying a prayer, especially if your wife is struggling with something, just stopping and saying, hey, can I just pray for you for a moment?
And I just say too, though, even for those families, I know childcare is an issue for marriages where there's a lot of littles involved and it's money and all that stuff. And we totally understand all that. For me, when you would even say no to like meeting with some guys who wanted to, you know, meet with you for coffee or whatever, even though, again, those are good things. And I think that's the difference is we had to mine through all the good opportunities, and often ministry looks, they're good things, but they're not the best things. And we had to start choosing the best things for us and for our marriage, for our health, for our family. But when you would say no to those things and you were just home, and we were, even if we didn't have something super special planned, like we weren't getting out, but we put the kids to bed and we just sat down and watched a movie or a show or read together or something, like that alone started to shift everything. Because we were in it together.
Speaking of in this together?
Yeah, I didn't honestly mean to say that, in it together, but...
I think I realize more and more, especially as we took our kids in bed at night, we say, what's your favorite part of your day? Mm-hmm. Playing with you. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing's true of you. I ask you your favorite part of the day, it's just being, yep. just being together. Yep. And so I want to close this out with prayer. And also just want to thank Dr. Dobson for the privilege it is to be able to have this conversation and to be able to encourage your marriage. Again, this is an ongoing thing even for us. We constantly have to go back to our own family values so that we can practice the art of being over the act of doing, really. And so I just want to pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we find it so much easier to fill our lives with doing instead of being. Forgive us for our misplaced values and careless living, and show us how to keep our priorities straight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just love that conversation because it really hit us between the eyes, and we just wanted to share it on the podcast because I really think this is something that a lot of young families are struggling with, and just in a great way, because we're battling for one another and for our marriages, but we're feeling the pressures and the demands of a really busy culture. But we want to do this well, and we want to start new patterns, routines, and schedules in our own families that feed us and they don't drain us.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I noticed about this as we listened in to our conversation as well was, Christy, you tend to cry a lot.
That was your takeaway.
Well, no, it wasn't the one big takeaway, but I did notice, and I love your heart, I love your vulnerability, it's just what it does for me is it helps me want to pursue saying yes to us more often. So I hope that you all took that same thing away.
I think sometimes too many tears do the opposite, but anyway.
Well, especially as husbands, for us to be able to really realize that for our wives, there's nothing more special than saying yes to her. Hmm. And for her to feel like, man, he said yes to me.
Well, I think it goes back to that one thing, you know, you've said time and time again. If your marriage is going well and you step, everything else in your life could be in shambles, but you step into the world in strength. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we've realized is in order for us to step out in strength, we need time. We need to foster the thing that is going to give us the best foundation.
Absolutely.
For success, really, in all areas. But plus, it's just a whole lot more fun to be married to you. And I actually like, we're not some stressed out ships passing in the night.
Yeah.
You know?
I love being married to you.
I love being married to you.
Yeah. Most of the time.
Most of the time.
We're in this together. We're just being honest. We have those moments. So, hey, listen, if you enjoyed this episode, we created it as a special episode because we just thought that conversation was just important to have, especially as it relates to our relationships and our marriages. So we love journeying with you. Tune in again next week.
For more information and resources or to connect with us, go to drjoshandchristy.com and come find us on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Josh and Christy.
And be sure to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the In This Together podcast. We'd love if you wrote a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more people learn about it. Tell a friend and be sure to send us ideas, thoughts, or questions you'd love for us to cover on the podcast.
It's an honor being in this together.
We'll see you next week.